bitch. Phantom's like a motherfucker. What's up now?
All right.
I'm done.
Did you get Brennan's approval to play some Ben Affleck there? Or
That was technically a Jay and Silent Bob clip.
Get it, but it's Ben Affleck, right?
We're going to talk about that. you're the one that went on record saying you want to climb him like a tree. So I feel like I'm fine.
Climb Ben Affleck like a tree?
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I don't deny that
you absolutely
a possibility.
Said that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm happy for that to be on my record.
In regards to his Bruce Wayne, you said I would climb that man like a tree.
I mean, he does look like he's built. You know, he pulled tires like a
motherfucker.
Did
you guys miss me or something?
Yeah, ironically, you're talking more about it than like the length of the actual clip.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. I was listening to the podcasts the other day, and
yes.
there's some nice things said about me, which
proud?
Is strange.
Are you proud?
It was really weird. I have... Yeah.
Well, I can't say them to you.
I mean,
like,
I appreciate it.
I can't say them to you to your
you
face.
You think I was
going to
quit or something?
Okay, there's a shorter one and a longer one.
I think it's... The first one could be... Hang on. The short one's good. I like the short... No, the long one. Do the long one.
That's what she said.
Yeah, do the long one first, Mitch. Get that right into me.
When he first walks through, we don't know any different other than that's Rodney McKay or another one.
He's got a cool leather jacket.
He has a cool leather jacket.
And just side note,
Mitch says the jacket, which was nice.
Yeah, thank
you. You know what? I'm the only one that knew that.
And
I missed that completely on the day.
It was very subtle. Even when I was editing, and I'm like, "Who said that? Was that? Oh shit! It was me." Like I don't even really get the reference. Like I know it's Seinfeld. That's what I know it from, but I don't know in what context.
So that's why I was asking, did you guys miss me? Because then there was this, the next one,
and the last one. I'm really upset, Brendan.
Hang on, what's the name again?
Oh, so close. So close. Play it again just so you know what it is.
Okay, good. Yep, okay.
And the last one, I'm really upset, Brendan.
Hang on, what's the name again?
Wow, the actual nice things we said.
That's what makes me such a great interviewer when I do interview people is that I just don't listen to what they say. I know what I'm going to ask next because I'm already worried that I'm going to stuff that up. I don't need to be thinking on the fly about what you're saying. That would make me an actual, I don't know, good operator at my job. And that's not what I'm here for.
Shut up.
That's not what I'm here for.
Smooth Which operator. Oh, and talking about Maddie, some amazing things that you said on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Dissing Taylor Swift.
I've already had some DMs about that.
Oh my god.
Let me get into it.
When would you care about Taylor Swift?
Mate, I love Swifty.
Oh, okay. Name one of her songs.
Shake It Off.
Okay, and what album is that from?
1989.
I don't know the answer to those things, so I have to follow up.
I'm right.
Damn you've got a 10-year-old daughter. Damn
it. Yeah, that's right. That's how I've got the superpower.
God damn it.
Well, the thing is, we come back. It was around about the Christmas mark, I want to say. And I want to say, like, first one back in from the new year or something. And I don't even know how it was off air. It was off the mic, and something came up about Taylor Swift. I mean, we're walking through a commercial radio station. She was probably playing on the speakers. And then you started talking about her, Brent, and was like, oh, man, you can't deny, like, you know, what a power, what a juggernaut she is. And I'm like, okay, yep, here he comes. And is the punch start? No. I'm like, holy shit. Like, you just came in, like, it was at that level. And I remember coming in. I was actually talking about it on my show. I said, such is the power. I said, I was with two people that couldn't give two shits about Taylor Swift. And even they were like, God damn it, you can't deny the great year she's had in 2023. And you can't.
You can't. Ask the Eras Tour.
Ask Brendan about Ed Sheeran, though, and it's a very different...
Ed Sheeran's released the same album 7 times in a row. Thanks, Ed. You know, I cannot tell.
Get in the Gate, episode 246, talking Stargate Atlantis. Three of the OGs are here, guys. It's me, Mitch. It's Maddie. Say hi.
Hi.
Hey. And he's back.
Hey, mate.
Brendan.
Mate, I'm feeling good, feeling fearless, bewildered, all of the above. Just having this is my wildest dream.
Huh?
I'm back.
You look a little red.
Yeah. Oh, so close. Oh, wow. Yeah, I got sunburnt today watching my daughter play against my old school.
Oh, oh, really?
Which is really weird.
I meant Red as in that's a Taylor Swift song, but I was just
I was working.
I didn't know that one.
Sorry.
That was dangerous. I was about to hit
What? That might be an album. I don't know.
I was about to hit the Austin Powers button that says, "Do I make you horny?" And then you mentioned your daughter. So I'm like, nope, not pressing
that. I thought you realized you were playing the wrong grab. Not like, whoa, bail, 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 bail. I feel bad now that like you would genuinely think that you're like laying them up. You're just doing that thing that we do at the end of each season. Yeah. And I've went, hey, you look a little bit sunburnt, bro. It's like, well,
don't blame me though. Blame the sun.
That was a little, I didn't do this to myself. Yeah.
God, yeah. This is love though.
Playing against what? Against your old?
My old school.
Yeah.
Karma College.
Yeah, Brock on. Come off for life, Maddie. Nothing. Okay.
Have heard of Karma College, Maddie? Great people.
You may have heard it on several episodes of Get in the Gate.
I miss Craig.
I know. I said I wasn't going to do a 6-minute intro. It was meant to be a funny little thing. But here we go. We're back.
People look. I mean, I've edited the guts out of this. People look at this going, what are you talking about? We're just over three. I mean, that'd be so hard on yourself. Yeah.
When I texted Craig that we were recording and I said, we're recording about half an hour. Sorry I didn't give you more heads up. He's like, I probably need more than about half an hour. And I literally said, that's the Karma Boys for you.
Yeah, well.
Really?
I mean, when you say boys. Yeah, just you can skip and straight to say, that's just Mitch.
I believe I said lads. I believe I said Karma lads.
Oh, well, we'll accept lads.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not to be totally selfish about this episode, but Matty, you set me up last week saying, hey, we're talking Phantoms.
Yeah.
I mean, so much so that we had to cut like a full 16-minute bit out of the main pod.
Just heavily masturbating.
Yeah.
Oh, did you go into heavy fandom?
A little bit. Yeah, that's in the Patreon cut. And look, you know, and I said that to at the very end of it, I said only Patreon have had to suffer through this. But, you know, we had a total of one person write back and say, absolutely, Mitch, bring back the fandom.
God, yeah.
So
it goes two walks,
100% of the comments on that little extra. Agreed with me. Only being one doesn't matter.
One's better than none.
Isn't it? That's modern journalism. Only focus on the facts that matter to the story that you're telling.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we are talking Phantoms for Stargate Atlantis.
We got the Phantom theme, Mitch. Like, this is...
The score.
I think we got to ask if we got the synopsis. Yeah.
I only have it for another show that we're not talking about today.
I got Prime,
You got Prime. Thank you. Yeah, brilliant. Good for having Prime. Because when you were gone the other week, we're going to bloody IMDb, and it's terrible.
Craig had it up.
That's right. And then Craig pulled it up, and it was too long. We went from having a too shorter version on IMDb
version. Whoa, you were going to make him too happy. You two just combined, just said, Craig
too
got it
big,
up, and it was too long.
It was too big.
He's going to be...
I've always said
once
that.
Again, Craig, only highlight the words of that sentence that you like, put them together, and make that your opinion.
Well, mate, I've already told you.
Sounds like one of you two's going to have to give him that handy that he was angling for.
Well, mate, I've already told you, he owns guns.
Oh,
no one else does.
All right, here we go. Major Leonard's team fails to check in with Atlantis while on a mission. Bloody Leonard. Following the energy readings in hope of finding Major Leonard and his men, Bloody Leonard, McKay leads the team into a cave to discover that the cause of the energy spike is a Wraith generator.
Great work, Prime. Great people.
Yeah, it's better, you know, it takes you up a mountain and lets you peek over the cliff, doesn't spoil anything for you, sets up everything we learn in the first 8 minutes, right? Mm. Brilliant stuff.
Did
we like
ruin this episode immediately?
Ironically, apologies to Three Star Cake.
No, I'll take that as a no.
It's a yes.
I was going to say, 8 minutes in was about the time I picked up my phone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, actually, Three Star Cake, I was, you know what I was doing?
Mm. Wanking it over the Phantom.
No, but I was wearing my skull ring. No, I was watching this on a laptop while doing the dishes.
Yeah, your skull cock ring.
No, just a skull ring.
Who's
but it adds a little
skull?
Bit. It adds a little bit of extra friction.
Oh right.
Yeah, it feels like it's like teeth without actually needing to.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little bit of teeth's all right.
Mm. So I hear. Ruin this episode for us, Brennan, quickly.
I mean, this whole episode could have been avoided if they just took a puddle jumper.
Mm.
I mean, this whole episode could have been avoided if the writers went, we probably do better, can't we? Can we maybe we should take another pass on this one?
Yeah, I felt a little bit of that, a little bit of that a lot of the episode where I'm like, God, Maddie really like, you know, I know you're only like, hey, Phantoms, and that was like where it began and ended, but I was still like, this kind of
I mean, what does Phantoms mean, right? Ghosts. So as a viewer, you already know what it's going to be about.
Yeah.
Well, having said that, as someone who's seen the whole season, I always get this confused with one of my more favorite episodes this season, Echoes, which is the one after the mid-season two-parter, and this is the one before the mid-season two-parter.
Right.
So it's always until when the episode opens up, I'm like, is it going to be... Oh, it's not the good one.
I don't know if it was for me this the fact that there was... And not that I'm a simpleton, maybe I am, but not, can we... not in a sense that I'm a simpleton, I need to see a physical bad guy. But the fact that there was, it was just like the lingering effects of something that's there. Like it was, I don't, and I know that we've seen that in SG-1, there's been a device that's there, but at least like when the device affects one of the team and then they carry that on and it's like the trouble that ensues back home or something, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it struck me different, or maybe it was different because it was the first time we'd seen it, whereas here as they go somewhere, hey, something bad happened to these guys, hope it doesn't happen to us. Oh, damn, it's happening to us, hope it doesn't kill us, it might, and then like it
send
doesn't.
Another team.
I thought, what I thought was weird is if you actually look at the episode as a whole, so the premise is the Wraith decided to invent some tech to help them improve their spooky powers.
Yeah.
That then the Genii, at some point the Wraith abandoned it. The Genii found it and f***ed with it and then killed themselves over whatever.
But neither of them were in the episode.
Yeah, you don't see a single Wraith or live Genii. You see a Genii, corpse, which, Beckett very handily goes, oh, he's been dead for months. And,
shit.
McKay's like, really? Thanks.
What did he say after that?
He goes, no, really?
Charming.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, McKay, like from going from McKay and Mrs. Miller, that was the last Atlantis episode, right? Where come the end of it,
the
it was like, hey,
character growth.
You know what? Maybe I can be a little better. There's a version of me that everybody loves. And in the end, it was like, well, that guy had some like things that weren't to like his benefit. But also, I know I can be a better person. And, in the end, if I can just be even a little bit of a better brother and a better uncle and a better brother-in-law to that guy that I don't care about him. It doesn't matter. But you're like, maybe a little bit of growth. Now, we don't want to see a complete change because that's what we love about McKay. But his first two, maybe even three lines or exchanges with different characters in this episode in the first 5 minutes alone, I'm like, you're an arsehole. And I'm not even that upset about it, but I'm like, what was the point of last week? Why do we even tease that you could change when you, it's almost like you're going out of your way to make up for the lost time where you were nice last week.
He's the personification of like two steps forward, one step back.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Mm.
By the end of season five, he'll actually be a decent human being, I promise.
Right, okay.
Well, sort of.
But then if they were to bring the show back and like, hey, we're going to give it a sixth season, they're like, no, we got to reset McKay back to like mid-season four at best.
Absolutely,
for sure. Mm. Especially for that gratuitous ass grabbing that he does with Carter or whatever. He me too'd her back in the old days.
Yeah.
But I wanted to share my first experience of watching this episode.
Mm.
It seems like a stupid episode, and it is. It's lame. But I was watching it with the great friend of the show and guest host, Joz.
Oh.
First time we watched this, we were watching it. What we do usually, we have a few drinks, or we did back then. Then we'd watch a...
That set up there could... set up a myriad of things.
It could,
yeah.
We're watching a movie or a show.
Anyone who says I woke up, brushed my teeth, that's the equivalent of what Brendan just said. Sorry, I interrupted. I digress. You go.
No, but when we watch a show or a movie together, we give at least one character in the show or movie a subplot that's never been mentioned by any character.
Ooh, I like those.
But you know, when our subplot meets the main story arc, say if the guy, where like he has a fixation on harmonicas and then randomly just he picks up a harmonica and we're like, oh, it's like a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like we won.
Yeah.
We won the subplot.
It's like when people hold up, they're watching the Hunger Games and they hold up Peter, bread to Peter.
Yeah.
And like every time he turns Everyone's around like, and actually looks like he's eating it, they're like, yeah. Da, 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 da,
da. So in this episode, we gave Dr. Beckett a kink, similar to what we gave with Hammond.
Is it necrophilia?
Close-ish, in the ballpark. Dr. Beckett has a kink similar to what we gave to Hammond with his self-destruct.
Yep.
Remember, Hammond gets rock hard on that.
Oh, yeah.
So here, Beckett, this is Beckett's kink. He collects shoes from every patient.
This one?
From every patient that dies on this on his table. So when he's nursing them. So it's very, very kinky.
Nursing them medically or nursing them breastfeedily way?
Medically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he gets off on, like, he tries his very, very, very best to save them, but when he doesn't,
he takes their shoes.
He takes their shoes.
Like a trophy.
That's a weird thing to give someone, right?
Do you know, I actually...
So throughout the... If you go back to it now and you watch the whole episode,
yeah,
and you just see, like, it does. He never grabs the shoes.
Yeah.
But from now on, he just has a shoe fetish.
I would almost want to go one level higher and make it
and he wants to
like
collect them.
Just the shoelaces, because that's like a whole extra step.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
Web some kind of... Like, weave some kind of crazy web in his room.
Yeah, and he can pocket them
He's the Fates from Hercules.
He pulls them out, just like rubs them between his index finger and his thumb.
Smells them.
He's the
failure.
Fates. He's the Fates.
It's the smell of failure. I love it. I fucking love it. I want a pair of kinky boots. That's what I need. That's why I walk past the strip club every night. just in case there's a stripper there needing medical attention. And hopefully I do save her. I want to save her, but if she doesn't, I get those weird kinky boots.
Kinky boots?
No, he pretends he's the Fates from the Hercules movie, and he gets the shoelaces and he cuts them when they die. That's what it is.
That's why I love this episode. It sucks, but we get kinky boots.
It is so weird that was your thing for this, because I have lived that experience. So when I was working at this very radio station...
You killed a hooker.
...many moons ago. No, that was just last week. They're a sex worker until they're dead, and then they're a hooker. Because you don't say dead sex worker wrapped up in a rug in my boot.
That's
it's
true.
Dead hooker wrapped up in a rug in my boot.
Because is that when you pay them?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. No, so when I was working at this very radio station many, many moons ago, on like the street team, we had to be this fun little group of people, and you could like go out and do things and be like, hey, come and check out this thing. It's really fun. We're here. So we were doing that for, I believe it was a bank or something like running. It was like Drive Safe Month or whatever it was called. Right? Mm. And we were encouraged people to come down to like the city center and come and do some fun stuff with this and like pledge to like drive safe for the month and blah, blah, blah. We get on site. There's a giant inflatable car that they want everyone to sign as their pledge to like, you know, drive safe. But then surrounding the car is like 500 pairs of empty shoes to signify every person who died on the roads in this state that year, that previous year.
I think I remember you telling me.
Yeah, and then we rock up and they're like, why aren't you guys being like fun? And we're like,
hello.
Because we may as well be in a cemetery?
Yeah.
It was so creepy, so weird.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Nazis? That's what they did. Collected shoes.
Yeah, and then they had a
great
they had
people
arcade,
though, if they want to sponsor the show.
They had an arcade game in the corner, like a you know, like your Gran Turismo kind of like driving things.
But it was
a safe driving simulator. So it was like you get in it, you don't get out of first gear, you learn how to reverse parallel park in it, and it.
Oh, that's good.
Shit.
Yep,
women need to do that a lot. Shake it off, ladies.
I thought it was safe.
Shake it off.
Yeah, wow. Shake it off.
I mean, when these aired, I'm assuming SG1, like, they were back-to-back on the same night, right? Like, when SG1 and Atlantis would play? So, this being episode, episode 9 of season 3, played after season 10, episode 9 of SG1, which is Company of Thieves, which you spoke about on the last episode. Would this have been arguably the worst, like, 1-2 punch as far as these shows airing back-to-back episodes, like possibly, I mean, so far, because we kind of shit on Company of Thieves last week.
That was horseshit.
And then you get this one, which is just like a whole lot of nothing.
I think I'm smelling what you're laying down here, Mitchell, and you're like, this is when the cancellation was really like.
Well, I'm hoping that they would have paired this with Quest Part 1.
No, well, I'm looking at the dates and they didn't. Company
that's what I mean. You'd hope so. So you go, oh, God, now I'm even more anticipating Part 2 of the Quest.
Shit. 15th of the 9th, 2006.
It'll just be like...
The day after my 22nd birthday.
Yeah, and the day after your 22nd birthday, you're like, I wonder if I need to like Stargate anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, do I need to... No, that was Vegas. When I got to Vegas.
Oh, Vegas.
I was like, I'm done with Stargate.
Hey, you know who won a Leo Award for that? Robert C. Cooper.
For Vegas.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's like
it makes this episode look like an Oscar movie.
It's like the Grace of Atlantis. No, the space race of Atlantis. No, but it's just like, it's the, what is it doing here?
Yeah, right.
What was that first episode that Cooper did back in season one with
The First Commandment.
Yeah, it's The First Commandment of.
No, but it's not. Huh. It's not that. It's not awful.
It is.
I think Mitch is gonna like it.
Oh, yeah, you do like CSI and all that kind of shit. You do love Law and Order, but is that just because of Mariska Hargitay or?
It's not
Mitch,
because of her.
I have a feeling Mitch might like it.
Yeah.
That's the point where
at least,
I...
you know, we need to follow that because...
That's where I pull a Reese's
This is a different tangent.
Out.
You know, because it... What, Shazam... The first Shazam film, 2018 or 19?
Sure.
Whatever it was. I didn't see it at the cinema. It took me ages to see it. And I think... I don't know why we were randomly talking about it on our group chat.
Took everyone ages to see
the
sequel.
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're all still waiting to see the sequel.
We did clean it on DVD.
No, you've got it. Yeah. I'll watch it. I'll get there. But I remember you, Brendan, putting in our chat going, yeah, I'll be very interested to see what Mitch... I think I know what Mitch is going to think of it. And I was like, oh, what? Like, am I going to hate it because it's like... Because I was like a defender of certain of the DCEU films and because it was a lighter touch within that, like, not that it was even that connected to those films, but it was certainly made in the same era. Am I going to hate it simply because it's not the same tone as those movies, or am I really going to like it because it's big, dumb fun and I'm a big, dumb idiot? And it took me another 18 months before I even watched it. And I was always like, nah, I'm going to remember that. And I remember pulling out our group chat once I watched it and really liked it and punched in search, you know, Shazam, something, and eventually pulled out that message. And I'm like, yeah, we never cleared that up. And I couldn't remember still, even to this day, whether I even followed that up and going, I really want to know what you thought that I was going to think about this movie 18 months ago. Do you remember? And you're like, as if you would go, that was 18 months. Why would I remember my thought from 18 months ago about what your opinion might be in a movie you haven't seen?
Do you want to know why I wrote that?
Yeah.
Because it would fuck with you.
Why? No, I just, like, an ambiguous.
You would have, go back 5 minutes and listen to what you just said.
I think we were such in the cusp of, like, trying to, like, we were reviewing and, like, giving our feedback on other different films. And then Shazam comes up and I'm like, I still haven't seen it. I'll be very interested to see what you think about it.
What is
fucking Seinfeld? So what was the answer? I don't know. I don't remember writing it.
One of the most telling things ever with mine and Mitch's friendship, and I can't remember which movie it was, but every now and then Mitch will get to see, like, we got to go to, you know, premieres and screenings, and Mitch got to go to one, like, the premiere of the premiere, like the pre-screen. So every now and then he'll see a movie before we've all seen it. And we all went and saw a
movie
together.
And he doesn't tell us.
Well, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But then what he reveals afterwards is that he's then nervous because he's watching us watch the movie. Like, as if he really likes it, then he's like, oh, he's like judging, like, and like clocking our reaction to see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and that's when I realized I'm living rent-free in this motherfucker's head.
Mm.
This is fantastic.
No, everyone does. It's so weird because, like, especially in this
now that you know about it, you can have fun with it.
No, it's worse. It's worse the first time around because it's a movie that I'm regardless of whether I'm really, really, really keen to see it or it's just one that I'm like, hey, I'm here. Obviously, you want every movie you watch, you want it to be good. Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
But I'll sit there and there will be, you know, like, I'll be sitting there with my wife and I'll just say, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of getting into it, and then I'm like, oh, you know what? I understand
why.
Why
you don't take your wife to the movie?
And I understand why she wouldn't be into this. Like, this is a me movie. I've done her a favor, and then I kind of just sit back and get
you
a little bit.
You've done her a favor, Mitch.
Oh, God damn it! And then we walk out.
Put
and she's
that
like,
ring on her finger.
She's like,
you're welcome.
I really like that. And I'm like, oh, well, why did I waste why'd 2 hours? Why, oh, damn it!
27 minutes in, why did you huff?
Actually,
is Maddie sleeping? Is Maddie sleeping? God damn it! And I'm like, no, you know what? I really like this. Or do I?
I remember Mitch being really stressed because I think the last one in particular I remember was when we went and saw The Batman and the Robert Pattinson. Mm.
And I had already seen that.
And then Brendan and I were sitting next to you. And Brendan and I were just sitting there like Statler and Waldorf, just making fun of this here and there. And I could tell Mitch was getting really nervous.
I still don't know what I think of that movie.
Yeah, same. It's fine. It's okay.
It's just like I don't know, well-made. Like, I can't complain about any of it.
Yeah, it's better than the Nolan films, but we all know my feelings on those.
It's definitely better
Academy
than
Award
Snyder
winner
ones.
Christopher Nolan. Thank you very much.
I won't forget because he'll tell everybody.
Leo Award winner. Sure
hey, man, he won for Best Director, got up and did his speech, and then he won for Best Picture as a producer. And you know what he said? Nothing.
Yeah.
He let his wife talk and he let his other producer talk. He could have got up there
do you
and
know
went,
why?
I also produce this film and I'm the greatest. So he's like,
do you know why? Because he just looked around and his head went, that's right, you all know it. Because that's what he fucking...
I would fucking hope so. He just won Best Picture at the Oscars. Yeah. You're not going to get out there and go,
The Oscars are nothing. Do you want to talk about cucks? The Oscars are the biggest cucks in
sure.
the entire fucking world.
Sure they
that
are.
That video I sent you a while ago of who played Catwoman? God, I'm so bad with
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
I was going for that. I mean, I could have went for the Batman Catwoman. Yeah. She's the most recent one. I don't even know why I went for Anne Hathaway. Yeah.
Well, we could talk about Nolan. Her
Eartha
little
Kitt was she was a real Catwoman.
She was telling the story about...
Wasn't Batman dance anymore?
She was really nervous about being Catwoman, and Nolan gave that bullshit speech to her where he's like, well, you know, when you're working on one of my films, you just need to know that you're around the best people and they are the best at what they do. They are the best people.
Just paying his crew credit, mate. He's talking about
he's a big fan of himself in his
big fan
suit.
Of Wally Pfister. He's
talking about
that's right. He's last name Pfister. The cinematographer,
and
mate.
And the caterers.
I mean, you just
oh
look
my
at
God. Can you imagine a movie written by Robert Cooper and directed by Christopher Nolan?
No. Can't because he wouldn't deal with that. You know what he'd do? He'd go, no, thanks, I'll write it myself and I'll win a fucking Oscar for it. If not, I'll get nominated about
it. He'll go, oh, Cooper, that's a great script. Let me just shoot it in reverse and I'm a genius.
It might fix it. give me a Cooper episode that wouldn't have been fixed other than the fifth race that wouldn't be fixed by making it go in reverse.
Arc of Truth. Definitely.
Well, that we've seen so far in this rewatch. So anyway, Phantoms, how good.
Bloody great.
It's great.
But imagine being Beckett.
Like, never. I couldn't do that. I couldn't get my IQ that
imagine
low.
Imagine being Beckett's patient and you're like, am I going to make it, Doc? Oh, hey.
What size are you?
If you don't, can I have your boots?
Just take your boots off and relax.
Let me undo your laces.
They wheel them in and they're like, Doctor, he just looks over and goes, oh, pink ones. And it's like, what? He goes, nothing. Like, it's just he's already thinking about where he's going to put them. I haven't got a pair of pink ones, you know. And
just relax. Go to my vest. I've got some homemade tablet in there that you can nibble on. Some tablet chicken nibble on.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Did I mention the... I know I've texted you guys.
Ooh, you sexted
did I say sexted? Yeah, I've sexted you guys. Yeah, because I had tablet. I don't
know if
I sent
the podcast. You sent us a photo.
Yeah, I sent you a photo. Yeah, it was delicious.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Bit of fudge.
I feel like this, they didn't need the opening scene with Weir. They could have just had them through the gate.
Whoa! Hold on, Maurice.
That's such a good gif. When you sir...
owe me an apology.
Oh, nah. Boy.
You owe Tori Higgins an apology. Oh, you owe all the weirdos an apology.
The what?
Oh, you might have missed that. Someone on Patreon, I think it might have been Damo, coined it. Anyone who's a fan...
Oh, no, I did hear that.
Anyone who's a fan of We Are the Weirdos.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think We Are, this whole time...
Mm.
Has been impersonating
an actor,
Taylor.
Oh,
son of a bitch,
John. John.
Oh God, yeah.
John.
That's hot. She says it hot.
John, though. Listen to me.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, Jesus.
So
I'm getting hot.
Either
hang on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, righto. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
End scene.
So it's okay when Taylor does it. Okay, I see now. I see what this is.
We'll be right back.
That's one of my favorite things in podcasts lately. Is it's just, you get to something, we'll be right back. It's like, so tell me about the time your mother died. Yeah, we'll be right back.
No, nope, we're going to stay. We're going to stay here. All right, keep going.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's what I just like when they cut the break anyway. I'm like, you don't have sponsors, and you're not filming this. It's not like you're breaking for video.
I love
if,
that.
If it's just purely audio, you can talk, and then stop for an hour and come back.
Yeah,
and the beauty of it, I released a podcast the other week. I recorded it four times over three different days, like segments, and I edited that bitch together. And even I didn't know where the cuts were by the end of it. Like, because as long as I'm sitting by the same quality microphone in the same room, the same circumstances, distance. Like, I just don't get that. It's like, You don't make yourself sound more sophisticated than what you are.
I was listening to the Scrubs podcast the other day, and like when they go, let's take a break, they literally have a little sting that goes, Scrubs rewatch show with Zach and Donald. And then they have a 2-minute ad break.
Yeah.
And at the end of the ad break, it comes back in with Scrubs rewatch show with. They cut to it. Let's take a break. Played that sting.
Mm.
There were no ads that week because there were no sponsors. Then they played the sting a second time and came back in.
Yeah. But at least they're having fun with it. But it's almost like,
I think it triggers an audience member.
Because,
you know, like when we used to have segments, you'd know that it's near the end of the podcast if Reese has been paying attention.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. I feel like that's a lot of the reason they do that.
Yeah.
What I hate is when podcasters put their podcasts up on YouTube, have their like written sponsors where they have to read like a 3-minute ad, but in the middle of the 3-minute ad, a YouTube ad pops up. And I'm like, get absolutely fucked.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah, that's why I pay for YouTube Premium now. I'm like, fuck this shit.
No, just use your PC and use an ad blocker.
Nah, you sounds put like it on, a lot of work.
It's not. You just type in ad blocker, hit download, and it's done. Don't need to worry about it.
But then that doesn't work on my phone.
Nah.
Yeah, so.
you can get them on your phone, I think, but I don't know how to do that.
It's fine. I'll just pay the $7, whatever it
is. That is a rip off for YouTube.
Well, no ads, and you can listen to stuff when you lock your phone. The video will still
play. That's cool. Mm. Spotify do that with some podcasts.
Stan's going up. So I got an email today. Stan's going up to $12 a month.
Oh, next month. You, Stan. Great people.
Not
there.
Great people.
They do. Great people.
Well,
I mean, put your prices down, for God's sake. Have you seen how much iceberg lettuce is?
Yeah.
I haven't.
I don't want
to
look.
You don't need a salad?
I can't stand it.
Salads are for women.
I don't need to see it. It's outrageous.
You know, in America, they'll serve a salad and they'll just serve like a wedge of iceberg. So they'll just
Isn't that bok choy or some shit?
No. They'll serve a salad. Imagine it's an iceberg that's just been cut in like four triangles like it's a watermelon. Mm. They'll put that wedge on the plate and then sprinkle friggin' ranch dressing and tomatoes and bits of...
And they reckon they can cook.
And they serve that on a plate.
It's good stuff.
This feels like mailbag. Doesn't even feel like an episode.
Oh, hang on a sec. We're talking about the Phantom. I've just got a notification from the Phantom Game Twitter account. They're just hearing Phantom. I'm getting my algorithms pushing shit my way, as if I couldn't have any more Phantom stuff. Actually, I absolutely could.
Mm.
And to follow up what Craig said the other week, when I mean, it was probably only in the Patreon card, if at all, haven't read a comic in, I couldn't tell you how long. He said, go home and treat yourself. Not sexually, just go home and grab a Phantom comic and read one. Still get to do that.
Six and a half and on the other.
Still yet to do that.
If we're talking about Stargate this episode, we might mention...
Occasionally.
You know how some of them had flashbacks, or it was almost a flashback, especially for Shepard. He's like back in that war zone, and he was
under
the weather.
Taylor,
is he sick or the other guy?
Taylor's immune because she's got some breath DNA.
Okay.
So that's why she was with John. John! And he was having his flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. I actually like the production of it. Like, it looked, you know.
Wasn't it just
they tucked him into a little corner and went, oh, here's some sand around you. And we're just, you know, like it seemed.
I went to a different location.
Kind of expansive in certain moments.
Do you reckon that chopper, though, was a redress of the one from Honduras? Remember in Evolution? Remember with Daniel and the Just Shoot Me guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, there was a big, like downed helicopter.
Probably,
yeah, surely. That. Do you reckon they just rehired the same one?
Yeah,
or do you reckon
they got one chopper.
The production owns that now?
Knocked the dents out of it, you know.
Painted it grey. Painted
it a paint job. Yeah.
So, like, because Becca, didn't they get drunk or something the night before?
Who?
I don't know. I wrote here, Shepard was lucky he was out on a really bad bender and fucked everybody over.
Sounds like some fanfic to me.
Must be.
There was something.
He's hungover.
There was something at the start of the episode where it was like he was lucky to be there at all. Yeah, like there was something that almost stopped him from being there. Or maybe he was crook, like you said. Like there was something.
I thought there was something like that.
Yeah,
well, that's why I wrote it down, because I was thinking. Ooh, imagine if he was feeling good, he would have f***ed everyone up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he clocked bloody Ronan in the shoulder or whatever it was. And I'm like, I don't feel like many people do that
very often at all.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, that was what we were expecting to see. Once you saw one you know, false memory or false, you know, what visual in front of them. Here we go. We're on, and he's off chasing Wraith Ronan, and then and McKay's Shepard's trying to you know, fix a past event, but in real time or whatever. But it was when you got down to
Gamekeeper.
Yeah. A little bit. But then you got to like McKay and Doctor Beckett, and it was because you weren't, as a viewer, I think with the, obviously with Ronan and Shepard, you knew what was real and what wasn't. Mm. Whereas when you were in the room with Beckett and McKay, it took them longer to fool you. And by that stage, you weren't sure which of them to believe at any moment. And then obviously when the body disappears, but then they know what's going on, but then they can't trust the other person because then another false person pops up and says, and I'm like, I actually like that part of it because I don't know what to expect here. Whereas the other stuff was very like, he's in the desert. Clearly he's not, he's in a f-ing forest. Like, I know
that. That was a cool twist though when Beckett kind of comes in and the dude's already dead.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. The whole time, what has he been doing to this dead guy?
Like,
and that's where it was like, oh, did he get his boots? Because you're pretty excited that the guy's dead.
Yeah. He's just swelling from all the extra drugs that Beckett's been jabbing into him.
He's just been filling him.
Yeah. I love the idea when
I wasted so much morphine on the dead corpse.
4 liters of saline. And
I'm gonna keep these boots forever.
That's what I mean. Like McKay's like, he's dead. He's dead. Then the other bloke pops up and he's like, he's trying to stop you from getting back to save him. And he just like busts McKay out of the way. He's like, I stole his boots all too early. And he has to go back and he's like tying the shoes back on this guy who's barely alive.
but they don't fit on.
I was
on.
Just trying them on and they're good. I'm so sorry.
They don't fit on because
you are dead, son.
All the extra liquid that he's like put into him has made his feet swell, so he can't even get the boots back on. And then
they're too big for
him. And
then
he ends up popping like Senator Kelly from the first X-Men movie. Right. Full of extra saline and blood.
It's like the idea of, you know, it would have been one of the earlier missions where they're, you know, off-world and there's a giant attack and he's stealing the shoes, but he's the one that he's there before anyone else, you know, rocks up. And that the report that again goes back to Atlantis that he has to file, which then obviously gets sent back on a mass hard drive back to Earth, and they're chronicling the Wraith and documenting them, and like they go through their MO, and it's like, okay, what they do, you know, they suck your blood and they, you know, take years off your life, blah blah blah, and also they steal your shoes after after they kill you.
I don't know
that's
why.
That's a rumor that Beckett started to save his own guilt and shame, and so that just becomes.
So didn't get onto him.
It's a Mandela effect. I thought didn't we always know that they stole your shoes, you know? And then like all of a sudden everyone starts looking at Taylor a little bit weird. Like there's no Wraith. It's like she's got some Wraith in her. Like she's probably stolen a high heel at some point, you know.
That's why she's always running around with bare feet.
Yeah. Just in case. You don't want to find shoes and not be able to carry them, right? You just slip them straight on. Yeah, like I don't know. It was
like they just had imaginary dreams until they fixed that Wraith thing, and then that was it. And then if they took a puddle jumper to every mission, they would have no problems. It's a spaceship, a plane, a fucking turret gun, a remote mobile DHD. Like, it's all of these things. Shelter.
Cloak.
Cloak.
Yeah.
It's so... obviously there's trees, so they always say, oh, we couldn't bring the jumper in. It's like, dude, there's 20 of you, like, spread out. There's 10 dead people over there.
Yeah.
Like, you can fit it.
Yeah.
And the DHD explodes and it's like, okay, we didn't think of this when we couldn't get radio contact. Hello. Anyway, that's why it's dumb, but I like Beckett's shoe bit that I made up.
That's fair.
I just like the idea, like, it's one for me, you know, I watched this show for the first time with Lincoln or by myself when it was in its initial run. Well, not Stargate Atlantis, I'm watching that for the first time now, but SG-1, and I'm watching that for what it is in front of me, and I'm trying to just, you know, either understand it or enjoy everything about it and whatever. Whereas you on your first go, you probably had moments by yourself where you were doing that, but then you're also watching it with Joss, and it's like, okay, well, now we've got someone else in the room, and you're coming up with these little fanfic ideas and backstories and stuff where it's like kind of messing with your first interpretation and first assessment of the episode, which is probably great on the rewatch, because then you can actually have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah,
even more so, you can build on that, which is great for the pod, because then I'm not just rewatching it now going, yes, this is exactly the same way I felt about this episode 15 years ago. I'm now watching it going, Beckett's got a shoe thing. Cool. Or, you know, the equivalent of SG-1. Then I'm watching that for for the second time.
Hammers, you're waiting for that hammer to pull out that key for the self.
He's nude when he said that, right? I'm telling that to Sarah or telling that to my kids and watching
like
it. I'm
the Mandela effect. He's always nude, right?
Yeah. Just so you know. Yeah, see that guy when he first pops up in like pre-credits, SG-1 pilot? Yeah, just know he's going to get nude a lot off screen. Like,
off screen?
When you hear him. Just know he's nude. When he's at that desk, he ain't wearing pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if you see him from the waist up, just go under the desk.
I don't know how that shirt looks so tucked in when he's got no pants on or a belt. It's
I tuck it under my belly.
No, he wears those male garters have the clips. Like the underpants suspenders.
To the socks.
The stockings almost. Maybe he wears the stockings.
Out.
Yeah, he's got a cock hole. And then the stockings with the suspenders under the blue.
Obviously it's crotchless edible underwear. He needs a snack.
That's why Walter goes in every 8 minutes. Did you need anything?
Yeah.
Oh, you looking good, sir? Yep, cool.
Why do I smell cherry?
Yeah, it's weird in here.
I was going to say cheese there for a second. Like, Jesus.
No, that's the flavor of his underwear. His edible underwear is cherry flavored.
I've never had a bite of edible underwear, so I don't
know. No, me neither.
Yeah.
It looks like a roll-up.
Well, now.
Are you talking roll-up?
Are you talking about his penis now? Or...
After I've chewed it. That's a roll out. We said it was good with teeth at the start of this. You don't need a little bit of teeth, but you don't want to be a baiter. Shout out to any dick.
God, yeah.
Any dick. Shout out to any dick.
Well, any dick.
Shout out to any dick who likes big bit a little bit.
Yeah. Didn't need weir in this at all. Did I mention that?
Look, I forgot she was in it, to be fair.
Yeah. So did I. When you said
that,
I was like,
been.
That's
what I meant. I think
well, should have given the mission.
She could have had a week off, Tori.
And also, it was one of those, and I know they have to do it, they have to give exposition to the audience, but I feel like there's different ways of doing it. And I think actually this episode, I wish I could remember it more to remember what I thought of it. The general consensus of it.
Sorry,
no, the actual line, the exact quote that she uttered. But it was just and this is not going to Brendan's point of her being a horrible boss of the thing. I'm sure Hammond would have done it, and I'm sure that Laundry does it on SG-1, but they know what's going. Their top line team is off doing something rather than being like, hey, where is the second team again? And then members of the first team have to go, well, remember, they're on P3X, blah, 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 and they've went there to do this, and these are the people they're dealing with. And the last time we checked in with them, it's like the boss is walking around aimlessly to tell the, hey, I'm going to be the audience. Yeah. I'm going to ask a dumb question to which I should already know the answer.
Yeah, because I'm the boss.
Rather than like, it would have been like, hey, so we're due to hear back from the second team in 3 hours, yeah? And then someone go, well, 3 hours and 10 minutes since their last check-in where they said this. Or what, like, again, meet halfway. Like, tell us some of the information, but have Weir come in and go, hey, have we got an update from blah, blah, blah with regard to this planet and this mission? Like, she knows what she's talking about. She just needs a little bit of extra information rather than be completely dumb. It wouldn't take up any extra time in the script or on screen or shooting. It's exactly the same thing, and it makes her look so much, or her, Laundry, Hammond, anybody look so much less of an idiot when they do that.
Yeah, there is a difference though, and I've talked about this a little bit. I'll do it as quickly as I can. The context with Weir being she was supposed to be...
Maddie's vibrating over there.
She was supposed to be the Hammond, and I believe Don S. Davis's deal was like he contractually didn't have to be in every episode. There's certain things in Hollywood and in TV shows and like where you get like it's like a 10-13 deal. So out of every 13 episodes, you contractually have to be in 10.
Right.
You don't have to be in the other three, but you're still getting paid. You still need to be credit.
Notice.
Keiko again was in it in Gilmore Girls. We'll diverge from
that. Oh boy.
Brad Wright really, really liked Tori Higginson and really liked Weir as the character. He wanted to be more involved.
Who doesn't?
Did anyone
none
else?
Of, no, that's the thing, and I've mentioned this before. None of
thank you.
None of the other
you have, just
none
like
of the other writers knew what to do with her.
No one does.
And she
why didn't
can,
they oh that's what I had someone write in.
She contractually
can you
had
ask
to be,
Maddie for me? Why didn't they ask Brad Wright?
Why didn't they ask? Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
they were too scared. I feel like they're too scared of Cooper.
Probably.
Like you have to go through Cooper's office to get to Brad Wright.
Probably, yeah.
They're like,
Brad was off playing golf or whatever. She was contractually obligated to be in more episodes, so they had to write in little things like this. And when they didn't know what to do with her, then they're just like
makes total sense.
And she was also more active. She wanted to be in more stuff as well.
Yeah,
she,
but we don't need
she
you.
She was the Michael Shanks. She's the come on, let's you know, my character wouldn't necessarily do this. you know, kind
your
of
character
thing.
Your character should shut up.
I started the idea that if she has got a 10, 13, but she rocks up. And they're like, oh, you're not actually in this episode. She's like, oh, well. And she's taken off her bag. I'm here now. I'm sure you can find me a room with a script somewhere.
We're trying to kill you off.
We killed you off 3 episodes ago. Yeah, but we're in a big galaxy. Like, I'm sure I can. Here we go. Here, Hannah Moran. I've come up with 7 different ways I can be brought back to life.
Listen.
We run the expedition. Geez. She can just be in the background up in Stargate Command,
Brad, do you want to talk to us?
We're not going to need you anymore. We don't need a leader anymore. So, yeah, we don't need you.
Drew, did you ever work at a place, retail, fast food maybe, and, you know, occasionally you wouldn't have a manager. It would be up to the staff, the most senior staff, to sort of run the organization. Yeah. We feel,
as
obviously,
a whole,
as a distance from Earth to Atlantis anyway, they're kind of running their own show.
Yeah, yeah.
Shepard's a colonel now.
We got a ZPM.
Right. You often go to him for advice.
ZZPM,
I feel like we could really get to the meat of the old story if we just bypassed, say, your character. Yeah. So you're not going to be here next week.
You can think about how your character would feel about it if you want.
Yeah, on the drive home.
I just don't need to hear it.
You can think about your character sitting in her office.
Here's not my phone number. feel free to call that and not tell me.
Here's my dog's Instagram. Click follow if you could. God. Notification bells. Hit a like. That'd be nice.
Cavaliers of _ IG.
What you don't know is anytime she's not on screen, she's just sitting in her office at her desk.
Yeah.
Just spinning around.
Just in character.
Spinning, yeah.
No, playing solitaire.
Eating
like she was
carrots
in
or some shit.
Hey, one bit
with
of...
hummus, imagine.
Oh, carrots and hummus. That's the saddest snack in the world.
Sad.
Anything,
Beckett loves it too. I love a bit of dip.
You made it there. So, no, there might not. John.
The only thing sadder than hummus and carrots is like carob. Like if you have some kind of carob
caribou
snack. That's about the only. That's the only
what's
thing
a
sad.
Carob?
Carob, the fake chocolate.
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of carob?
No.
Carob.
Never.
That's why I said it.
Oh, what were they teaching you guys at
to eat real chocolate?
Fuck you. You eat chocolate. Why the fuck would I eat fake chocolate? I tried that at IKEA once.
I've heard of faking because I thought it was a joke.
No, that's
we laughed
that's
about it on the way home. But I'll never eat it.
God.
Never put it in my mouth. That's disgusting.
I see you put a lot of chemicals in this to make it taste like the very thing that exists right there.
Yeah, we can just eat that.
What did you call it?
Ironically, Cake-up. It doesn't.
Carob.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now.
No. I thought, honestly,
how are you two grown men and never
saying,
heard of carob?
I thought you were saying
C-A-R-A-B.
Scarab.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Okay, that was a guess. I'm Googling this, Holly.
Carob.
Carob.
No.
What?
Never heard of carob.
What?
Carrot?
You are making
do you mean carrot?
Look,
no.
That looks like a rotten banana.
Correct.
Oh, is that the things you warm up and you put on, you put them on under your shoe and you scratch them on the
and then there's
on the on the concrete and then you put it on your mate's leg and it burns him. That's that.
What are you talking about?
And there's also Carob Cullen, who's from Warhammer 40. Like it's a character in Warhammer.
I'm looking at Google, mate.
Yeah,
Warhammer. Yeah, you're thinking of Warhammer.
And yeah, that's what you're thinking.
No, it's C-A-R-O-B. It's C-A-R-O-B.
There's ground beetles, Carobidae.
C-A-R-O-B, motherfucker.
What? I know it corrected me.
Spell it.
Don't say motherfucker. I asked you for clarification on the spelling and you said, yes, that's right.
Well, I don't need it either. I'm not the spokesperson for carob, for fuck's sake. I just thought
you sound
guys,
like it. Like everyone should know about fucking carob.
Because
you haven't seen the billboard out front with carob on it? It's fucking best shit ever.
How do you not have a childhood?
He's a tree in your fucking yard with carob in it.
You're going to eat chocolate and you're actually eating carob.
Why would I eat
what
carob?
What kind of fucking white cis privileged YouTube motherfuckers have where you didn't get...
You know what? We didn't eat carob, we ate Cadbury.
Exactly, that's your white privilege showing. Carob was the disgusting f***ing wantabe.
That's what the Arnie's would give you.
Carob is the f***ing of chocolate.
The faking.
We need to get out of here. I'm stressing out.
I'm losing my
mind.
You know what? Here, have a Twix. Funny. It's real chocolate. There you go.
Get that into you. Pull the carob out of your ass. And eat that chocolate.
I'll eat it. Brennan, you want to split it with me? It's
fuck
real.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, can we go?
Yeah,
Twix.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
This is 20 minutes longer than I wanted to be here.
Chocolate boots!
If anyone cares, Martin Wood was the voice of the camcorder guy. Let's go. See
you later. Yeah, I knew it.
Get into geek. Get into gate. Get into gate, Stargate podcast. Get into it now before it's too late.